This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
You're now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
Abortion.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in Spokane, Washington, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, Deese reviews Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness and more. And now your host. The other day he accidentally drugged himself on mushrooms and he also visited the multiverse. Deese Casillas.
For all the white people who were partying on Cinco de Mayo, that's fine. I hope you enjoyed it. But remember, if you got a DUI, stop appropriating my culture. I'm actually attempting to be more active on Twitter recently. So I wanted to try and start a Mexican Twitter. But then I realized the Raiders already have an account. Malib Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Deese. Thanks for hanging around and coming back for another episode. We got a little mini episode for you this week. I'm a little late. I know. I'm behind schedule, guys. The show has been... Who produces this fucking show? They should get fired, those pieces of shit. What are they doing? You know, can't get this show out on time. The fucking guests have been scattershot at best. The host is a hack. What's going on with this piece of shit show? Well, guys, I've just been very busy. I'm sorry. I apologize. But for everyone who still comes around and visits me every now and then, I do appreciate it. I'm just going to do a little mini episode this week. We got a couple things I wanted to talk about. What's going on in the news? I wanted to give you a little review of Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. I saw that. We're going to talk about that. Also, shows coming up this week before we get into all that stuff, guys. We will be back in Lewiston, Idaho at Shooters this Friday. Friday the 13th. Holy shit. We are going to die. And not because Friday the 13th, just because we go to Lewiston and those people like to fucking drink. I'm happy to be going back to Lewiston, but literally and we've been doing shows there for a long time now, but literally the first time I did a show there, I think I was on stage for like 15, 20 minutes and they sent me 11 shots. I was so shit faced. Like I've never blacked out in a town more that I've spent so little time in. I don't know if I've ever been to Lewiston and not blacked out, which to be fair, that's just like everyone's dream when you're in Lewiston is just to find a way to forget it. Lewiston, Idaho, not a great place. Some cool people, not an awesome place to live or visit. Even beautiful in the summertime. Beautiful in the summertime. I remember I actually one time I was in Lewiston for a show and I got super hammered. Here's the problem is that the owner of Shooters, Zane Martin, great guy who runs a awesome sports bar down there and is very welcoming to our ridiculous comedy coming down there and entertaining his people. They're very nice and generous to us. I really appreciate him. But he also, he'd give us an open bar tab, which is great when you are a comedian with an alcohol problem, crippling alcohol addiction, way to enable us. And we'd get drunk. And here's the thing. I like tequila. Liked. I don't drink anymore. It's been 2 years now. But I liked tequila. Not that I'm counting. I drink a lot of tequila. Zane drank a lot of Jägermeister. Now I cannot drink Jägermeister. I never understood how people say that alcohol changed them Or, you know, they're like, oh, if I drink whiskey, I beat my kids. Otherwise, I'm just a happy guy. Or they say, you know, I change as a person when I drink this, or I'll never drink this alcohol again. I'm like, I think you just drink too much of that when you drink. You get drunk like an alcoholic, and then you just get sick. It's not the alcohol, you know, it's in your head or whatever. That's what I thought until Jaeger came into my life. And then I realized that that is very true. I am a piece of shit even more than I usually am when I drink Jägermeister. I literally tried to fight a guy in a wheelchair when I was drunk on Jägermeister. This is not a joke. I was at the bar. This story's all over the place right now. Put a pin in Lewiston and getting drunk with Zane. We're talking about in the past, even further back, when I was living in L.A. still. I got so shit-faced on Jägermeister one night at my bar in California that I'd go to. There's a guy who used to go to the bar, too, and he was a guy in a wheelchair. He had one foot. It was his right foot is all he had, and I used to call him Left Foot Larry. Now, I know I sound like a dick already in this story, but let me tell you, Left Foot Larry was a fucking asshole. This guy used to talk so much shit all the time and get away with excuses in a fucking wheelchair. Like, motherfucker, I will kick your ass. You know why? Because you can't kick back, bitch. Don't fuck with me rolling around like you own the goddamn joint. You know, I'll roll you out the fucking back where there's no ramp to get back in, you piece of shit. So we got into it one night. We're arguing, and I'm pretty drunk on Jägermeister. And I look at this guy, and these words came out of my mouth. I said, listen, Christopher Reeves, if you got something to say, why don't you stand up and come over here and talk to me like a man? And then the bartender told me I needed to leave for the night. I was 86th for the night, which I politely said, totally understandable. That makes sense. And I left. One of the funny things about that story is that's how I got kicked out of that bar for the night. I have cousins who aren't allowed in that bar ever again. Imagine what they must have done to earn that ire, that fucking that scarlet letter to never be able to come back in. It's worse than trying to fight a guy in a wheelchair. That's how bad it is. That's the family I come from. I'm one of the good ones, and you guys have heard my fucking stories. So imagine what the rest of my family is like. It's funny. Half my family's degenerates. The other half is literally like pastors and ministers. It's a weird dichotomy. Not a lot of family reunions for everyone getting together. A lot of 50-50 ones. You know, half go to this one, half go to that one. So anyway, that's why I don't drink Jägermeister. Jägermeister fucks me up. I become a different person. I hate it. I don't like anything about it. Well, we'd be in Shooters in Lewiston. I'd be trying to drink tequila, and Zane would be drinking Jäger. That's what he likes. He'd be like, yeah, do a shot of Jäger with me. You know, what is it about someone drinking that they always want you to drink the same thing? Like, you gotta like what I like for us to get drunk together. It's like, I'm gonna, you know, I'll have a sea breeze. You know, give me a Zima. You can have all the Jäger you want. I'll take it easy. You know, I don't need to get as shit-faced. I don't need to drink Jäger. Like, I'll drink with you. We can drink together, but let's have different things. Imagine if it worked like that when you went out to dinner with someone. And they're like, they're like, I'm having the gazpacho. Why aren't you having the gazpacho? You got to have the gazpacho. You got to have it. We're having to have it together. Have it with me. It's like, I'll just have what you like. So I would drink tequila, and then I'd get drunk because it's open bar. And he would bug me all night. He's like, have shitty Jäger with new Jäger. And I'm like, no. I'll do tequila. Then eventually I would get so hammered, I would just give in, you know, like a teenage girl on prom night. I'm just too drunk to say no. Just like, okay, I'll take it, you know. But let's not talk about it. Don't tell anyone. Don't let my parents know. And I would start drinking Jäger, and then I would black out. And one time I was there, and I woke up in the morning. I don't know how many times I woke up in Lewiston confused at where I was, because I got so drunk the night before, and I was still kind of drunk that I'd wake up in my hotel room and be like, well, at least I'm here. There's no girls here, and no dudes. So I guess success. And I would wake up. And one morning I woke up. I had to be back in Spokane. For those of you not in the region, Spokane is like 2 hours north of Lewiston. I'd be back in Spokane early that morning. I had an important meeting with some people. I won't go into details about that boring thing. But I had a meeting that morning, a professional meeting. I didn't plan to get drunk, but I did. And I woke up and I was confused. I was in my hotel room. It's dark. And I'm like, where am I? This is not my home. That was my first thought. Then I started breathing out of my mouth, and all I could taste was Jaeger. And I go, oh my God, I'm in Lewiston. Which Jägermeister, like, someone just throwing up in Jägermeister should be the city crest for Lewiston. So I'm just like, oh, fuck. And I'm, like, still drunk. All I have is... I'm in like my pajamas, and I realize I have to be back in Spokane for this very important meeting. It's about a 2 hour drive, and I've got about an hour and a half, and it's blizzarding out. There's a fucking like near whiteout blizzard. So I just hop in my car in my pajamas, sand like fucking just not even my shoes, just like these like weird water slipper things I would wear for comfort when I drive, so I don't have to wear shoes. And just no coffee, no nothing, just white knuckling it, still drunk, this 2 hour drive, like as fast as I can in a blizzard back to Spokane to make it to this meeting. And I walk in and I reek of Jaeger. So I haven't brushed my teeth. I've had no coffee. I definitely am still over the legal limit. I could for sure would have gotten a DUI if I got pulled over on my way that morning still. And the guy walk into this meeting, and the guy, like one of my partners that I was supposed to meet, he looks at me. I go, and I'm in my pajamas, like a literally Incredible Hulk pajamas, a hoodie, and these weird footy sandal things. And I go, I know, I'm a little underdressed, but don't worry, I've got dress shoes in my car. And he looks at me. He goes, "What the fuck is the matter with you?" Come to Lewiston this Friday the 13th and let's get hammered. You guys get hammered. I won't get hammered. I'm not getting drunk. I don't drink anymore. I may eat some mushrooms. That's kind of my thing in Lewiston now. I usually have some mushrooms and just kind of walk down the train tracks and think about hopping the rail to start a new life somewhere else. But it's going to be a fun show. Come check it out, guys. All right. Well, we've got a couple things to talk about. Like I said, I want to do a review. I want to talk about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. But before we get into that, a couple other things I'd like to chit-chat about. What do we got? Oh, yeah. I opened a social media the other day, and all of a sudden I realized, so we're doing personal bodily autonomy again, huh? That's right. Okay. Because for the last 2 years, we spent telling everyone, fuck your opinion on your own body and what you do with it. We get to tell you what to do with it. But now when it's coming to abortion, that issue, we are completely for bodily autonomy, which the consistency is just remarkably fucking amazing in people these days. It's so funny how people can't see the glaring hypocrisy in this, like the mental gymnastics people have to do. At least admit, like, you can still be pro vaccine mandates. I don't agree with it. I think it's stupid. But you're allowed. You probably also drink Mountain Dew in the morning. So we have differences of opinions in on things that I consider smart. But that's fine. Like I don't agree with it. I think it's dumb. But okay, be pro vaccine mandates. At least don't be have such cognitive dissonance that you can be for that and still be willing to say that you're pro-choice in bodily rights and, like, we should not mandate what women do. Because there is so much hypocrisy in there, 100%. Because these people on the left now are really, really beat the drum about two things a lot. Consent and body choice. Autonomy, bodily autonomy. But not with this for some reason. Why not? Why is this different, you know? And people say, well, it doesn't affect other people. Well, I would argue it does. I would argue it could affect other people. You know, that baby, sure, it's just a clump of cells or whatever you want to call it time. And now, guys, I want to make this clear. I'm pro-choice. I also don't think that men should make decisions about a woman's body, mostly. And I say that because, like, not that I think it's not so cut and dry. We shouldn't. Yes, that makes a lot of sense. But also, like, we should have some choice in what happens to a baby that is also ours. I don't know how, you know, there's not a perfect answer, but you know, I don't know if, like, old white men making legislation, old, you know, conservative white men making legislation is the best answer for, like, what happens to women's bodies also. That's not a good answer either. Like, they're really bad at that too. But, you know, there should be other people in the conversation. And also, it should be a conversation. Like, granted, at the end of the day, it is a woman's choice for her body, but... You know, I do think men should be able to voice their opinion on it and talk about it without being hated for having an opinion on it. I do understand the anti-abortion stance quite a bit, actually. I am pro-choice again. I think it is a woman's right to choose, ultimately. But also, we can't tell these, you know, don't be blowing up Planned Parenthoods and shit. Obviously that's wrong. Don't shame these girls going in to have an abortion. It may be one of the hardest things they ever do. Besides taking that fucking dick for the first time. Sorry, that was not, that's not appropriate. But also, like, understand that they have moral, these people who are against it have some moral stance, and it's not all, they're not all aggressively against it the way they're made to seem sometimes. Like, you know, we've got this stance where we feel like everyone is so hard against each other, and there's these hard lines, and like, I am or I am not. It's like, maybe they are not in the same camp as you, but they doesn't mean they are the enemy. You know, they have a difference of opinions. It's very reasonable and understandable, you know? It's really easy to make these broad stroke statements and be like, oh, you don't care what you're a pro death penalty and you don't give a shit about the baby once it's born and da 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 and all these other like talking points about conservatives. But that's such a weird broad stroke that doesn't apply to everyone. There's so much nuance that we're missing in this topic. And like, it's this all or none attitude that we've taken. And I'm almost sick of talking about this ad nauseum, not like abortion in general, but like this divide in how there's no nuance anymore, because it really applies to everything. And it applies so much here. Like, there's so much middle ground and so much conversation lost and so much nuance lost because, like, no, you know, like, I don't know. I don't think anyone wants babies to die. Like, even the people that are pro-choice don't necessarily want to kill babies. They're, you know, so saying that they're like not pro-life is weird in the other direction, you know, because now you're making it derogatory and making it sound like these people just want to kill babies when they don't. They just want to have a choice. And I think they should. But also, I will say, I don't think abortion should be a birth control method. It becomes a birth. Like, I know women who have had 7-8 abortions. That seems like too many. You know, I don't know what too many is. You know, it's like Congress was talking about porn on the internet, and they're like, oh, if it's too far, we'll know it when we see it. That's one of those, like, we'll know it when we see it. I don't know what too many abortions is, but I think 8 is too many. I know that. I know 8 is too many. I think 3 is too many, unless they're medically related. You know, it's a medical issue where your body is, the mother is at risk. 3 seems like too many. It seems like maybe we should just get their tubes tied. Like, I feel like one, maybe two abortions. After you have two, just automatically they go get their tubes tied. And like, you're not responsible enough for this at all. This is not for you, apparently. You just can't keep busting nuts and blowing, letting people blow loads in you. And then fucking having a bait, like just being like, just flush it out. No problem. Just fuck, flush that thing out. Flush it out. Seems bad. I will say, I think I'm all for the men's birth control or vasectomies for dudes. I think that's a very important. That should be happening more. Although, you know, this all would be solved if we just did what I've been saying for years. We put a sterilization agent in the municipal water system. Everyone is sterile. And when you want to have a baby, you fill out an application. You tell us why you think you should have one. We want to know that you can financially support one. You're like mentally sound enough to support one. You have a stable housing system. You know, all those things. Instead of just shitting out babies left and right because you feel like they're not even, you feel like you just happened to be pregnant. You know, some dude you met on Tinder the night before and blew before the appetizers at Applebee's. Now you're fucking pregnant. People just aren't thinking. They don't fucking think ahead. You got no planning. And abortion shouldn't be like this catch-all fallback plan. Like, just do that, you know. There's so many other better things we could be doing, better solutions. But the big overarching thing of this is we need more nuance in this conversation. Also stop, like, I hate the vilification of men in this, and that it goes to two categories. People like vilifying men as the people perpetuating, like, just hating women, or it's these fucking cuck dudes be like, oh, I'm for you, I'm on your side. Fuck you, you pussy ass. You're just trying to get your dick sucked. Go fuck yourself. Here's the deal. People have ideas and thoughts on this, and they should be able to express them freely and talk about it. It's a delicate topic, and we just need more conversation. But I will say, I think it's trash that all the fucking lefty liberal fucks. Yeah, I'm talking to you guys. that now it's just like our body, our choice. But you fucking talk so much shit and wanted everyone to shove a fucking vaccine into them that they didn't like, that they didn't want to do. And you told them it was fine. They had to. It was fun. If they weren't doing it, they were literally killing old people. Go fuck yourself. They weren't. The numbers don't even show that shit anymore. It's some fucking garbage ass trash science. And your vaccine is trash too. Its own fucking shit don't even work. So the idea that, like, now you have this moral high ground above everyone else is garbage. Ugh. I don't know. I will say this. I don't know what's too long. We have to decide when, you know, is too late to have an abortion. I don't know when you draw the line, but I know that for me, it's 6 months after the baby is born. That's right. You got to be able to know. I don't even get to meet the thing before I get to have to decide if I want to keep it. What if it's ugly? What if he's an asshole later in life? You can keep a puppy. You can go visit a puppy a couple of times before you even take it home. Then, you know, and that's like only a 10-year commitment, not lifetime like a kid. Maybe only 7 years if you get a Great Dane, you know? And, like, you can take a puppy home. And then in a week, you may still decide you don't want it. And you can take it back. They don't ask any questions. There's just, like, a safe deposit box. You just drop it back like you're depositing at a bank. Like, puppy's back. Put them in the fucking cage again. They're like Mexicans on the border. Just throw them in a cage with a FEMA blanket. You know? And, like, they don't ask a lot of questions, you know? I mean, it's way easier to raise. You know, kids are way harder. Like, they have a social security number. You can fucking, a puppy, you can accidentally lose in the woods or get hit by a car. They don't ask any questions. You can go get a new puppy that same day. They do not have such a cavalier policy when it comes to babies. They are way more strict. And there's so many rules, you know? You don't shake a baby to sleep. You don't drop them. The soft spot's not an off button. There's so many rules. Really, at the end of the day, though, guys, not so much that I'm pro-choice. I'm not for abortion so much as I am just a really big advocate of stem cell research. All right, let's move on to the next. We're gonna talk about Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I saw that movie. It was fun-ish. I've got some commentary, some things to say. What is funny to me, I did have this. I did note this, is that, like, I thought it was, I don't know how to say this, but just the tweet I made, the thought I had is, like, everyone who is always, like, eat the rich, I can't believe they spend money on this. Like, Elon Musk bought Twitter, he spent that money on this, and he could fucking solve world hunger. And then also those people are like, oh, I've got to go buy a ticket to that movie about a comic book wizard that cost $200 million to make. Do you know what they could have done with $200 million? Feed a lot of fucking people. So go fuck yourselves, you goddamn hypocrites, okay? Stop seeing that movie. Stop consuming things, you know? Don't watch the fucking Mandalorian or any other Disney nerd show. Lots of shit you put money into that they spend a shit ton of money on could solve so many problems, okay? Do you know what Twitter is? Twitter's a business. Elon Musk is going to employ a lot of people. That's important. Employment's important, right? That's going to pay a lot of taxes. Taxes are important, right? That's going to go to feed a lot of people, help a lot of social services in America. It's a big revenue maker, which means big revenue for America, tax purposes, okay? That's how this works. Trickle-down economics, man. We figured it out. Americans don't save money. They spend it. So if we have people employed making money, they're putting it back into the system, you know? And people still talking so much shit about Elon Musk behind Twitter, you know, like, oh, he's just not going to put his money where his mouth is. He's not going to, you know, said he was going to make a donation and stop world hunger. They said it was $6 million. He didn't own up and pay it all. No, he didn't. You're right. He didn't give $6 million. He only gave $6 billion. And do you know how much he gave? A measly $5.74 billion. Where's that other $0.16 billion, you piece of shit? $5.74? That's barely a dent in world hunger. What's that gonna feed two, maybe three of the Bushes and a Clinton? That's barely anyone. It's not gonna feed anyone. Give that other $0.16. That's really the moneymaker. That's what really puts us over the edge to feed everyone. So all you disingenuous fucks, just stop complaining about everything. Holy shit. You know? Some people are rich. They're doing okay. Elon Musk is putting some shit back into our economy, at least, and helping people and doing some things. You know? Anyway, Multiverse of Madness. Oh, God, I wish you lived in a multiverse where the people weren't such pieces of shit in this country. Multiverse of Madness, the Doctor Strange sequel, Marvel movie starring Benedict Cumberbatch as the lead character, Doctor Strange. The cool Olsen as Scarlet Witch and a bunch of other people. Sam Raimi, who from Evil Dead fame, also directed the original three Spider-Man movies, I believe. At least two. Maybe he didn't do the third. Anyway, coming back to Marvel to do this movie, it was interesting. I had high hopes going into this movie. I liked the first Doctor Strange well enough. I wanted to see the continuation of Wanda's character quite a bit. Sam Raimi is a talented director and has some very interesting takes on films. I wanted to see how this went. There's a couple. I don't even know where to start. I'll start with this. Spoiler alerts. There's going to be spoilers in this. Wanda is the antagonist in this film. She's the villain of this film, which is unfortunate, I think, first of all. I still try to enjoy this film, even upon the reveal that Wanda is the villain for this movie, which is revealed very quickly. If you've seen the movie, it just kind of happens instantly, you know? Like this America Chavez girl who can jump through realities, the multiverse, which I feel like the only reason they put her in there is they're like, hey, we need a young character and a Latino character and someone with vague, ambiguous sexuality. Let's make it this girl. She wasn't really necessary for the story at all. They just kind of shoehorned her in because they wanted to tick those boxes and say they're doing Latino, they're doing, you know, young, they're doing ambiguous sexuality. It's so disingenuous. It's bullshit. It's not that I don't want those things represented in a film. Just do it and mean it. This fucking disingenuous, diluted bullshit. It's just like fucking, it's such lip service and people buy into it. It fucking blows, you know? Disney doesn't give a fuck about any of these marginalized groups whatsoever. And again, this goes back to my point earlier. You guys keep sucking their fucking tit and pumping so much money into them and they don't give anything back to actual marginalized groups. So whatever. And then Doctor Strange needs help with America Chavez because he's bad with teens or something like that. So he goes and finds Wanda and he's like, I need your help with this girl, blah, blah, blah. And then Wanda's like, oh yeah, I'll help you with America Chavez. And then they stop and he's like, and she goes, oh shit, you never told me her name, did you? And he's like, no, I didn't. And then she's like, oh, well, I'm the bad guy. I want to kill everyone. And I want to kill her and I want to get my kids back. If you didn't see WandaVision, she had some kids. Go see that. And you want to see that before you see this movie. And I'm like, that was like 17 minutes into the movie. And she's just introduced. They didn't have this long burn of like, maybe Wanda's helping. And then later she's revealed as the villain. She's just instantly the villain from go. They could have dragged that out and really played it up and not revealed it right away. It would have built a little more suspense and also been a little more interesting arc with Wanda. And then I was thinking, like the whole time I'm thinking, is there a secret villain here? Is there another villain? And it's not, it never is, which is unfortunate because really this makes Wanda a tough character now. It makes her irredeemable almost because after WandaVision, the show, the Disney Plus show, she was kind of sympathetic. She was a sympathetic antagonist. Yes, she took over this town. Yes, she took over these people's minds. Yes, they had a fight with her and things like that. But also she was doing it for like a noble cause, very emotionally distraught and had some mental issues. So you could kind of like sympathize with her still. And at the end, she came out of it and she made the right choices and she helped people and saved people and made hard choices and went on her way. And you're kind of like, oh, she redeemed herself. This now has made her completely irredeemable as a character, which is unfortunate because I think Wanda's an interesting character. And now she just kind of, there's no bringing her back. You can't make her a good guy again after these events. That's way too hard to do. So that's kind of shitty. I think Sam Raimi had some really interesting takes on this because there's a lot of horror elements, which Sam Raimi does well. The only bad part about that is that there's some really cool horror elements, psychedelic horror elements to this film, and then just Marvel stuff slapped in between it. So it was kind of neither fish nor fowl, you know, it was kind of a nothing burger. Like you want it to be one or the other. And I just wish they would have gone whole hog into horror movie because I feel it could have really been beneficial. You just could have been this cool, dark, horror, mystical, like a whole shebang, you know, but they always have to have that Marvel blueprint that they stick to. And it kept going back to that, which was taking away from any of the cool horror stuff that was happening. I mean, that's a really cool, like Scarlet Witch was, you know, the whole like fucking creepy crawly out of mirror, twisting her back and crawling on all fours type of crazy shit in scary horror movies, and then they just go back to the Marvel stuff. So if they would have gone all in on the dark arts horror film, I think it would have been better too. It almost like didn't feel like a Marvel movie in a way. Like it's like someone made a horror movie, like a kind of a shitty horror movie, and they use Marvel characters at times, like a weird fanfic or something. There were some pretty cheesy parts. You know, I think America Chavez was a terrible character, as I said. Unnecessary. I think using Wanda as the crutch of the antagonist was unnecessary. I think they could have done it better in more interesting and more creative ways. I think it was very easy scapegoat, low-hanging fruit writing, not very creative, in my opinion. I think they really could have pushed it a little further and done a lot better job basing the story with some other other jumping off point, and could have done the same, accomplished the same things, and if not more so even. There were some cheesy elements, some cheesy fight scene things, and not that, like, I mean, I get it's a comic book movie, there's going to be cheesy parts, but literally at a certain point they were like fighting with musical notes, they were creating musical notes out of magic and fighting with them, like these classical musical. It was ridiculous. There's a couple other cheesy parts. And overall, it was just kind of okay. I really wish they would have done some things differently. It was still fun. I was one of the, I don't know if I'd ever watch it again. But it was fun enough. There was some cool fanboy moments. I feel like a lot of these movies now, and the same thing happened with Spider-Man No Way Home, is they're just fanboy fan service moments, which I get, that's their bread and butter. It's people my age who grew up on this stuff and are nerds and go see this movie, these movies, and that's fine. You want to cater to them a little bit, but also, like, I'm a nerd. I like this stuff, but also I realize they're comic book movies. I'm just checking out and having some fun. I'm not mad about them. I'm not saying they destroyed them, this character, or they're trash, or they should have stuck to the source material. Like, there's artistic licensing they have to take to mass market this in film. And, you know, they want to have these fan service moments, like in No Way Home when all the Spider-Men come together, all three of them. It's like this big, ooh, cool moment, or, you know, Doc Ock returns. Things like, they're cool moments, but it's surrounded by a bunch of not that cool moments that are kind of haphazardly put together to build these almost contrived moments. And Doctor Strange, I think, was built a lot around having this moment where the Illuminati are revealed, and we see Captain Carter, we see an alternate Captain Marvel, we see Professor X, and we have the reveal of John Krasinski as Jim from The Office. That's right. He's Jim from The Office in the Illuminati. It's crazy. You know, he does these weird things where he, like, just kind of like wrinkles his face and looks at the camera and, like, what the hell? And it's weird. Like, why not make him a Marvel character? I didn't know Disney owned The Office too. No, I'm kidding, guys. John Krasinski is Mr. Fantastic, which was a fun reveal. It's great to see him. It's I think he's a perfect Mr. Fantastic. I'm so excited to see him in the Fantastic Four movie when that does happen. But again, I feel like it was just forced to be like, hey, look at this thing. Does this make you excited for the next thing? And Marvel has really fallen into this trap of focusing less on what they're doing in the moment and being like, this movie is just a commercial for the next three things we're doing. And then those three things we do will be commercials for three more things. You know, I like the shared universe. That's great. They really are, you know, they know how to build the momentum very well. But, like, I think they can do that by making these projects better and still advertise the next thing. You know, they were good at that originally, you know, just like a post credit scene or a little nod to a character here. Someone's introduced here. It's and, you know, we need to get back to that. So I would say see Doctor Strange. It was fun. It was worth watching. I don't know if I'd watch it again. There's definitely some downfalls. If you're a super critique of movies, you're probably not going to love this a lot. I liked a lot of the stuff Sam Raimi did. I wish there would have been more of it, though. I think that's my biggest thing is there wasn't enough of it, and it wasn't consistent, so it started to feel choppy. If we would have just gone all in on the whole horror thing, we really could have had a good film. I don't like the arc they took with Wanda. I think it makes her irredeemable, which kind of negates all the pathos and character work that was developed in WandaVision. Kind of negates that, makes all that lesser. It's just kind of makes that inert, unfortunately. So, you know, you go back and watch that show and now you're like, ah, well, this is, you know, her growth here doesn't mean anything. It's false. She doesn't really grow. You know, the things she actually comes out of that arc learning and being and developing as a person aren't genuine or don't stick for very long, apparently. So anyway, that's it, guys. All right. Well, I'm going to get out of here for the week. I got stuff to do. But guys, thank you for hanging out. I appreciate you hanging out for this short episode. Go to deescomedy.com. Check out everything going on across the network. Show's coming up again this Friday in Lewiston. I will be in Moses Lake the week after that. On Friday the 20th, I believe. Then I'll be down in LA the 21st through the 30th, or 23rd through the 30th. I've got shows in Gardena, Riverside, Temecula, Santa Ana, Anaheim, San Diego. I've got shows everywhere. So check out, go to the calendar, buy tickets. And Drink and Debate back on June 3rd at the Black Diamond in Spokane Valley. They just remodeled. It's going to be dope. I don't think they remodeled where we do the shows, but otherwise the rest of the place got them facelift. Come check it out. Tickets are already going fast, so get them now. And that's it, guys. Thanks for hanging out for the social. I've been Deese, and we will see you next week.